Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, welcome back to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you. Vern is scheduled to join us coming up in 30 minutes. We'll catch up with Josh Vernier, who is at Kauffman Stadium today. We are celebrating the Royals, who won the World Series back in 2015. Yes, it has been a decade ago. The Royals are celebrating the 2015 team coming up this weekend at Kauffman Stadium. We had Eric Hosmer on the show earlier this week. We asked him about his dash home against the Mets.
Oh, man. It's so fun going through it, too, because every time I felt like it's such a good idea, and every time I go back and look at the highlight, I feel like I could have got so much more off the bag, like initially when David had the ball, but I felt like it was a great idea literally until he let go. And then I was like, man, I just have to get to this plate and touch the plate before he tags me somehow, some way. And thank God it worked out the way we did. But, you know, I know everyone always hears me talk about it was in the scouting report, the coaches, Jersh, Rusty, everyone continued to talk about it. So I truly believe that that had something to do with my decision and just taking off.
That was Eric Hosmer. Check out the podcast page. You can hear his interview in its entirety from us earlier in the week. We'll get back to the 2015 Royals and also the present day Royals coming up in just a bit. Let's talk a little bit of football before we do that. I want to play for you guys something that Sam Munson had to say from formerly of Pro Football Focus. He now does great work with the 33rd team. He has a very interesting perspective on the Chiefs offense. Here's Sam Munson.
I mean, the whole offense, like, remember a few years ago, the Chiefs had this like historically amazing offense where Mahomes was looking like the best quarterback we'd ever seen. And, you know, they were putting up a ton of points and everything. And I think every aspect of that has kind of gone backwards in the last couple of years. Mahomes has not hit the levels that he hit previously in his career. He's not been bad by any means, but he's definitely not playing his best football and hasn't for a while. At least over a long period of time, like individual games, like Mahomes is still Mahomes, but over a 17 game schedule, he's not hit the heights that he hit previously. The offensive line, as you said before, suddenly that looks iffy, right? You've got Jalen Moore, who's a pretty significant question mark in a low sample size at left tackle. Juwan Taylor, who hasn't lived up to his money. Left guard is probably Kingsley Suamataia, who was supposed to be the left tackle solution, is now going to be the left guard solution because he wasn't the left tackle solution. So suddenly that line, you know, could be a weakness. It was obviously, it had its ass kicked by the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
I have been on this side, and I've firmly been on this side. Now, I understand if some of you are not on that side, and reasonable minds can certainly disagree. 913-586-7965. I don't know what the expectations are from the quarterback position when these things are true. I would say it was possibly the worst offensive line that they've given Patrick Mahomes since he has been a starter in the National Football League. Now, there are certainly a lot of positives to this offensive line, and you see those, But there were a lot of negatives with last year's offensive line, too. They did not have left tackle figured out at any point during the season. From game two until the Super Bowl, they were constantly in a state of trying to figure out the most important position on that offensive line. So that's number one. It is not even arguable based on the numbers. It was the worst form of a rushing game that they had last season. So you had offensive line issues from basically the entire season. You had a running back issue for basically the final 4 months of the season, where you lose Isaiah Pacheco. You then make a switch on the fly where you go get Kareem Hunt, but there is a noticeable lack of explosion from your running game. You had the worst version of Travis Kelce that Patrick Mahomes has also played with. You lost your number one wide receiver in the first month of the season. Your big free agent acquisition also got injured in the preseason. What are you expecting the quarterback to do in that scenario? You're certainly not expecting him to give you the same level of production when you had a better run game, when you had a better and more consistent offensive line, when you had premium best tight end in the NFL, Travis Kelce, when you had Tyreek Hill when he won his first MVP award. I don't know how you are expecting the same measure of output from your quarterback given that scenario as opposed to what he had in the past. I think the Chiefs' offensive message is pretty simple. We were talking to BK about this not that long ago. The message for the Chiefs is simple. Our offense was going to be really good. That's what we believe. You can't really take any other conclusion based on how they moved this offseason. They brought back everybody. They had chances to go in different directions in the run game. They essentially brought back the same run game as last year. When you look at the wide receiver room, they essentially brought back their wide receiver room. I think the message from the Chiefs is very simple. We think our offense was poised to be really, really good last year, and then injuries derailed it. It's hard to tell them that they're wrong. Your running back was banged up for basically the final 15 games of the season. Your number one wide receiver didn't play for the final 15 games of the season if you were counting the postseason. Your number two wide receiver didn't show up until around Christmas time. It's hard to tell the Chiefs that they're off in their prediction for the offense. So I think this year is we're going to find out if the Chiefs were right or wrong about their offense. There's no denying the numbers. They went from being a top five offense in the league to the last year being pretty average if you look at a lot of the numbers. But I think it's pretty clear what you can point to, the lack of production, and it came to the injuries. And now this year, knock on wood, you are hoping and expecting that if guys stay healthy, that the Chiefs can go back to being a top five, top eight offense in the National Football League. So, Rob, I can't really disagree with what Sam Munson is saying. It's easy to find that in the stats, but I do think we have to provide some context around Mahomes and the dip in numbers and why he has, quote, regressed over the last two seasons or so.
I understand for 2024 why the regression existed. It is everything you laid out. Pacheco basically didn't play most of the season. Rashee Rice basically didn't play most of the season. They were trying to get Xavier Worthy acclimated. Like, Father Time looked like it was catching up a little bit with Travis Kelce. I agree 100% with you on 2024. Why were they that way in 2023? Because 2023, I know they win the Super Bowl. I get it. Flags fly forever, and no one will ever take that moment from the Chiefs. But it wasn't like the 2020 Chiefs offense was gangbusters. It wasn't like that offense was, uh-oh, watch out. Mahomes won the MVP and looked like Mahomes in 2022, and he did it with MVS, Juju Smith-Schuster, and an historic performance from Travis Kelce. The ensuing season, they added Rashee Rice, and they basically had the same group, and they said, run it back. And they were middle of the pack offensively. And if you remember, they were middle of the pack in basically everything, including record. And they got red hot in the postseason, and that's what matters. But if Sam Munson's point is, hey, 2022 was this great high watermark where Mahomes looked like Mahomes again. He was the MVP. They won the Super Bowl, and the offense was humming despite the fact there wasn't high-level playmaking out on the outside. Why in 2023 was it mediocre? And then 2024, that's injuries. But that is a trend now that the offense has looked meddling in two consecutive seasons. I'm hopeful. You're hopeful. The Chiefs are hopeful that health and the additions and an improved offensive line fix that in 2025. But it's fair to ask, is this a trend, as they were mediocre is unfair, middling in back-to-back seasons offensively?
Yeah, and you just know my stance on this. Like, someone on the text line says the issue is Matt Nagy. I disagree. And that's fine. If you think that the issue is Matt Nagy and you think, hey, they were better with Eric Bieniemy, it is not a surprise to me that the decline that you were talking about with their offense almost perfectly coincides with the decline of their number one overall weapon. I don't think that Brock Purdy was a much different quarterback in 2024 than he was in 2023. What was the difference? You didn't have Christian McCaffrey. You didn't have Brandon Ayuk. Debo Samuel dealt with these injuries. It's funny that we can notice this with all of these other quarterbacks in the league, and yet with the Chiefs, we act like you can't see it. He needs weapons too. How do you throw 50 touchdown passes without throwing them to really talented wide receivers? Well, when you're giving them Juju Smith-Schuster and Nico Remigio and Xavier Worthy, who takes 3 months to get going, you ain't getting 50 touchdown passes from that offense. You're not getting 5,000 yards. So some of this, to me, if we're talking about where did the offense go, well, the offense got worse as the parts around the quarterback got worse. And when you gave him all of those things that lined up, when you gave him a healthy version of Isaiah Pacheco, the best tight end in the National Football League, Juju Smith-Schuster, the last time that we've seen him be a productive player in the league, that guy won NFL MVP. So the hope this year is, hey, if we can get some of that back, our offense is going to be fine. If Isaiah Pacheco is healthy, he's a 950-yard receiver. If you can get Rashee Rice healthy at some point, let's say around Halloween, and you got him healthy, and you got Hollywood Brown healthy, and Xavier Worthy is still healthy, that's the best wide receiver group that they've given them since Tyreek was in town. A lot of the problems with the Chiefs offense, to me, is just simply investing in the parts around Mahomes and putting him in the best possible situation. And I find it hard to believe that they've done that from a skill position standpoint offensively the last couple of years.
Me and you are just going to disagree on this, and that's fine. I feel like in 2022, they had one elite level weapon. Now, they may have had the best tight end in the history of the NFL playing at the highest level. But you look, if me and you did a random Chiefs lineup for the 2022 offense, especially when Juju got hurt. Remember, he got hurt at one point that season after the Jags game. If I pulled the wide receiver group from that game, you'd be like, boy, this is a lot of mediocrity. There's some MVS. There's some Kadarius Toney. There's, you know, I mean, again, Travis Kelce was all world, but outside of that, it was blah. Very, very, very just okay, and okay at best. I mean, and Patrick Mahomes took that team to the Super Bowl during an MVP campaign. And you could say that it was, you know, buoyed by Kelce, but Mahomes was sensational. So I don't know what it is. Maybe Andy Reid has gotten more conservative. Maybe the offensive line is worse than we think, and that's led to him being more conservative. But in 2022, the weapons weren't elite, and Patrick Mahomes was still elite. So that's where me and you just disagree on the weapons conversation.
And that's perfectly fine. Someone on the text line says, CDOT, Mahomes won an MVP with MVS, Sky Moore, and Kadarius Toney. He also had Travis Kelce. You guys told me for 5 years that Travis Kelce was wide receiver number one during this time, and it didn't matter who their wide receiver number one was. I mean, in the season opening game against the Lions, remember that game? Kelce was hurt in that game. I mean, these were their receivers. MVS, Justin Watson, Noah Gray, Isaiah Pacheco, Rashee Rice, that's his debut in the league. They scored 20 points in that game. I mean, Mahomes played pretty well, but I mean, he had to lead them in rushing in that game. He had 45 yards. Isaiah Pacheco had 23 yards rushing, and his number one receiver was MVS. They've done that a lot over the last couple of years. Now, some of you were thinking, what does it matter? Look at our record. Man, they've been this way for the most part because Mahomes is really good in the fourth quarter, and they have had consistently a top five defense for the last couple of years. Now, I think their defense, once again, is going to be really good this year. And I would join you guys if it was complaining about Matt Nagy, but I can't remove ourselves from the fact that Eric Bieniemy, one reason you feel the way you feel about Bieniemy is he had the best version of Travis Kelce and the best version of Tyreek Hill. Matt Nagy has never received that as the offensive coordinator, and last year he didn't have a run game. So some of the play calling is going to be a lot easier and a lot more fluid when you simply have better players to call the plays for. Let's get back to baseball coming up on the other side. Josh Vernier will be on the show coming up in about 15 minutes. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Let's head.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
To Kauffman Stadium right now to be joined by Josh Vernier. Vern, how you doing today, my man?
I'm doing very well. I'm excited for this this weekend set. I think we all are.
What are the expectations, I'm trying to ask, for the attendance? I'm going out there tomorrow for the 2015 celebration. I imagine there's going to be 30, 35,000 people out there. This is a big series this weekend against the Cardinals. What's the expectation from Royals officials about how many fans are going to head out there this weekend?
Well, I haven't asked anyone what they're expecting, but you had 85,000, more than 85,000 turnout for the Boston Red Sox, and there was no George Brett or Eric Hosmer. There was no World Series ring replica giveaway. There was no George and Brett Saberhagen bobblehead. So if you got 85,000 last week, and you know, Red Sox fans certainly travel, but they don't travel like Cardinals fans travel when the I-70 series is going on. So you have to expect at least on average 30,000, so north of 90. I'm expecting a sellout tonight, a sellout tomorrow, and yeah, 27 to 29 coming up on Sunday. This place should be jumping. Now, this weekend can be ruined if the boys don't handle their business on the field, which I think is pretty cool, C-Dot. We haven't had many collections of the 1985 team where they returned to Kauffman Stadium and that wasn't the big story, where the game on the field wasn't an afterthought. In my opinion, the game is at the forefront of why you're coming out to this weekend series.
So Seth Lugo was scheduled to pitch for the Royals tomorrow. He is not going to pitch for the Royals tomorrow. It sounds like Noah Cameron is going to pitch. Yeah. What can you tell us about Seth Lugo?
He has inflammation in his right middle finger. The team isn't presenting it as overly concerned. They're presenting it as if it's similar to what they did with Cole Reagan's, when he was dealing with that groin injury, where he can still pitch. He might be able to pitch through it, but why in the month of May would you ask a guy in Seth Lugo to pitch through it? So especially when you have someone down in the minor leagues that you know can handle his own at the big league level, right? It's not as if this team is now scrambling that they'll have to skip a Seth Lugo start, and hopefully it's just skipping one start. That's the hope from the organization. That's the hope from all of us. And it's obviously a wise move with the kinetic chain. You can, you know, move your middle finger and you can see the nerves and tendons going all the way up your forearm into your elbow. So yeah, be careful with Seth Lugo, because this is a very valuable commodity, not just for a team that's trying to win the division, but also the fact that Seth Lugo can opt out of his contract coming up in about 4 or 5 months from now. He could be a very valuable piece down the stretch, could be a very valuable piece at the trade deadline too.
I mean, this is exactly why you build depth, that when an injury happens throughout the course of the year, you're not worried about it. Now, I know we've seen Noah Cameron in a very limited setting, but the last time we saw him, he was fantastic. You certainly feel good about him in a spot start pitching for the Royals tomorrow.
Yeah, and how cool is it going to be for him and his family, right? A kid that grew up rooting on the Royals, cheering for the Royals, going to Kauffman Stadium in Royals gear, growing up in St. Joseph, Missouri. He's now going to be out in the bullpen throwing to Salvador Perez, more than likely. Well, I don't know. Actually, they might give, you know, Salvi the day off behind the dish tomorrow. Nonetheless, how cool is it going to be for a St. Joseph kid to pitch on the day where not only is he pitching in front and for his favorite team and his fan base, but also in front of Eric Hosmer and Mike Moustakas and the guys that certainly, when he was a 15-year-old, watching them win the world title, it's got to be a pretty surreal moment tomorrow when he toes the slab here at the K.
What are you expecting tomorrow? Because the Royals, they do such a really good job, I think, at knocking these kind of things out of the park. Like, I'm really excited for tomorrow. I'm excited to be going tomorrow. Just the celebration. It doesn't feel like it's been a decade to see all of them back on the field, to see all the pageantry, to see them interact with each other. For us to get a chance to thank them for everything they accomplished a decade ago, I'm expecting it to be a very fun and emotional celebration to the 2015 team.
Yeah, yeah. And to go back to your great conversation you had with Eric Hosmer a few days ago, and just how much that team ingratiated itself, not just with their play and the winning, but with their personalities and the way that they purposely reached out to the city, to the fan base, to the area. I would imagine something similar tomorrow, like what we saw last year, which I thought was awesome, when they celebrated the 2014 team, when they would announce each guy and they would almost run through the crowd, right? You could give high fives to Lo Kane and James Shields last year. I would like to see something similar, because this was a very community-oriented ball club, led, of course, by Dayton Moore, who's always focused on the community first and foremost. I think that has to be present tomorrow, right? It was the city's team. It was a team that changed the city, and I'd like to see the city be able to touch that team one more time.
When you think back to that time in your life, the 14 and 15, and we'll get back to present day, but let's take a little bit of a journey, a trip down memory lane. What do you think about the most? We were talking about this with Hosmer. Is the thing that I remember most is just how it felt like it came out of nowhere. The Royals were a 500 team in August, and the next thing you know, you look up and they're in the wild card game. The next thing you know, you look up and they're hosting game one of the World Series. It has felt like things went from ho-hum to this is the greatest thing I've ever experienced in a very, very short period of time.
Yeah, and it's weird, and you brought this up to Hosmer as well. 2014 was more fun. You know, as we sit here tomorrow to celebrate the 2015 team, a squad that allowed us to sit here today and say that 2014 was more fun, right? If they don't finish the job in 2015, we still look back on it fondly. But there's no way we would be able to fix our lips and say, man, wasn't that awesome? Even the end, even losing in Game 7, while now we can look back and say, you know, it's almost as if that didn't happen. You know, I think Ryan Lefevre always puts it best. Everyone inside the ballpark after Game 7 in 2014 was like, wait, no. No, it's not supposed to end like this. No, we're not, you know, crying or anything, but hang on. That's not how it was supposed to end. I think we can now look back on that fondly because of what the guys did in 2015. The things that come back to my mind selfishly is how bad I was at radio 10 years ago, and hopefully I'm not saying the same thing 10 years from now, but as far as the team is concerned, the way that these guys always picked one another up, you know, as I'm grinding through another season of post-game show phone calls and text messages and people hitting the panic button, I mean, that same stuff was going on in 2015. Now, a lot of it happened at the tail end of the season, a lot of the panic and, oh boy, this is all for naught. But I would like to think that we are a better fan base that understands the game a little bit better and understands the importance of the clubhouse. And that's why, and I've said this to you a few times, it's why I think we'll look back on April of this year. For as disappointing as the offense was, for at times as disappointing as the team was, what that month did to the clubhouse to bring a tight-knit group even closer, man, we learned how important playing for one another, trusting one another is with that 2015 team, and I think it's on display 10 years later.
I think that in a lot of ways, sports mirrors life in a lot of ways that I don't care how much you play in, something is usually going to go wrong. And it usually comes down to how you respond to the thing that went wrong. Like, you can plan and plan and plan, but things will never go exactly how you plan. I think about the Royals in 2014 and 2015. You think to the comeback against the Houston Astros. Well, wait, we got to figure things out on the fly. And I think we have learned, especially with the Chiefs over the last 5-6 years or so, that one of the characteristics of a great team is we can overcome our mistakes and still figure out a way to win. And the Royals in 2014 and 15, they pretty routinely figured out a way to capitalize on the other team's mistakes and just put themselves in a position where at the end of 9 innings, they were going to outscore their opposition.
You know, for as much as we want to remember everything being great in 2015, it obviously wasn't. You didn't have an ace for most of the season. That's why you parted with three lefty arms to bring in a guy like Johnny Cueto. Things weren't great even offensively. Now, they were good. They were obviously better than this team is offensively through the first 45 games. But they needed someone to kind of team up with Lorenzo Cain with quality, consistent at-bats. And they parted with Sean Manaea to bring in Ben Zobrist. Yeah, no doubt about it. All great teams have to overcome adversity. I'm interested. I don't think this team's faced it yet. Talking about the 2025 Royals, for as trying as the month of April was, you and I have been around long enough to know something even more difficult awaits, right?
No, 100%. Vern, I am actually curious to get your thoughts on this because you watch the Royals so closely. I was late to the party and maybe seeing it with the Royals. Like, it wasn't really until I would say game two against the Angels that it kind of hit me. Hey, the Royals might actually be really good. Like, where have I been this entire time? You watched them as closely as anybody. Did you kind of have that moment where, hey, this team might be a little bit better than I originally thought they were?
No, man, I don't think I like sobered up or came off a high until the conclusion of game two of the ALCS. Because I remember game two in Baltimore being in the broadcast booth before the game and listening to Denny Matthews, as we always do. And I'm listening to Denny just kind of a throwaway comment of, if the Royals win tonight, this series is over. They're not coming back to Baltimore. Basically saying, if the Royals win game two, it's going to be a 4-game sweep. So I tucked that into my back pocket. And then when the Royals did ultimately win game two, I came out of the postgame show and just ripped off Denny. I'm screaming, oh, we're not coming back here. This series is over. Just all the confidence in the world that comes with parroting the GOAT in Denny Matthews. So I would say then, that was the first time I thought, oh my freaking God, this team's going to go to the World Series. Up until then, it was just a magic carpet ride from the wild card game to Moose's walk-off, or not walk-off, but extra inning blast to Hosmer's extra inning blast, and suddenly Mike Trout's punching out at Kauffman Stadium and the guys are going to Baltimore, and I'm making all the trips with them. So, man, it was the best time of my life, at least, going into that 2014 run. But again, this is another reflection of just how great that 2014 run was, and we're only allowed to truly enjoy it because of what the guys did in 2015.
right now, we're talking to our Royals insider, Josh Furner. Just a couple more 2015 questions, and then we'll get back to present day. Do you have a favorite player from that time? We got asked this question for our social media feed. I've always just loved Ben Zobrist. I don't know what it was, but he just was like a do-everything guy. It didn't matter whatever the Royals needed him to do in 2015. He did it with a smile on his face. He then named his kid Royal. I love Ben Zobrist. He's my favorite player from that time. Do you have one from the 2015 team?
Well, God knows Ben Zobrist deserves it after that devil. But
you said not me.
Ben Zobrist was the playoff MVP of that season. Ben Zobrist was outstanding, but no, I wouldn't say that he was my favorite. Personally, my favorite to interact with, to talk with, was Wade Davis. My favorite to watch, of course, and I always enjoyed interacting with him as well, but I just never wanted to bother him because Lorenzo Cain. Loved watching Lorenzo Cain. He was the straw that stirred the drink for that 2015 team. So Wade Davis was my favorite to interact with. Lorenzo Cain was my favorite to watch, not only on the field, but the way that he would interact with his teammates inside the clubhouse, the way that his teammates, not just Salvi, loved to mess with him, the way that they loved to celebrate him, right? Lo Cain always looking for someone's birthday so he could have a piece of cake. Cain and Wade Davis, I would say, would be my 1-2.
Right now, we're talking to our
pretty chalk.
No, and that's perfectly fine. I mean, what I think the beauty of the 14 and 15 team is right now, everybody has the same favorite Royal. It's Bobby Witt Jr., right? When you go out there, everybody is wearing Witt's jersey. What was cool about 14 and 15 is everybody had their own favorite Royal. Maybe you liked Kane. Maybe you liked Alcides Escobar. Maybe it was Gordon. Maybe it was Hosmer. Like, part of the beauty of the 15 team was it wasn't really about the greatness of one individual. It's about, sure. It was about the greatness of them as an entire team. Some people's favorite player from the 2015 teams is their seventh inning relief guy. You can't think of too many great teams that people feel that way about.
Right. You didn't mention Hosmer. You didn't mention Greg Holland. You didn't mention Ned Yost. People now looking back are trying to convince me that they always loved
Ned Yost. You already know how people are. People know back then that they wanted the Chiefs to draft Deshaun Watson and not Patrick Mahomes. And now people are making it seem like they've always loved and appreciated Ned Yost. I was here, right, Vern. I remember that's what happened.
You might be able to get that by Dusty, but you ain't getting that by C-Dot, and you ain't getting that by me. We've been here way too long.
Vern, I kind of feel like with the Royals, they are the most simple team to figure out. Like, you don't even have to watch the Royals at this point. All you need to do is text your friend, how many runs did the Royals score today? And that's going to answer your question. I don't have to know how the pitching performed. I don't have to know about the bullpen. I don't need to know anything. Ask your friend, how many runs did they score? And if he tells you 2, the odds suggest that they probably lost the game. If he tells you 4, you can assume that the Royals won. It really feels like it's boiled down to something very simple with the Royals, and are they going to get enough offense that day?
Well, yeah, and that's a reflection of the best rotation in Major League Baseball. So really the question is, can that continue? Can this rotation continue to carry an offense that, even though they've performed better in the month of May, it's still an offense that ranks bottom 5 in baseball in runs per game, in OPS, in expected weighted on base percentage? It's a bottom 5 offense in the totality of the 2025 season. If that continues, I do not believe that even the best rotation can carry a bottom 5 offense to a division title. It might be able to carry them to a 6th seed in the American League. It might be able to backdoor them into the postseason, but it's going to be nip and tuck like it was last year. You're going to make it in by a game, maybe by 2 games. The offense remains the aspect of the team that is holding them back from being their best. The one thing that I'm tired of hearing is, it's killing us, Vernier. The offense is crushing us. It's killing us. Well, you're 5 games above 500. You're on pace to win 90 games. Nothing's killing you right now. Now, sure, the offense is holding you back from being your best, but you're still one of the best in the junior circuit, and there's no reason to believe that this organization, which each of the past 2 seasons has addressed its biggest need, whether that's pitching depth in 2023 when they bring in Cole Reagans, or it's bullpen like it was last year and they bring in Lucas Erceg and Hunter Harvey. This year, the biggest hole right now is offense, and I have no reason to believe that they won't bring in the offensive version of Cole Reagans or Lucas Erceg. I understand that's a big ask, but that's what it takes to win consistently in a market like this, and that's the task on the desk of J.J. Piccolo right now.
No, Vern, you're 100% right. Anybody saying that the Royals is killing them, they're wrong. This, to me, is the difference in the Royals being good and great. The Royals can be good with the offense that they have right now. They were good last year. You can make the postseason. You can win 85 games. You can be a wild card team. You can make baseball fun. The Royals can't be great, I think, with their offense. They can't be consistent with their offense. So if this team is going to try to take that next step from going from a team that is very good to a team that could potentially be great, at some point they're going to have to do something to get a more consistent production from their offense.
And you're seeing them make slight changes now, which, again, right now the only thing that matters is winning. Are you winning? And the answer right now is yes. Plenty of time to make changes to the roster, bring in that bat, call up another bat, whatever it might be. But you see today, Dairon Blanco is back on the bench. So they now have that late game pinch runner, something that we've known for years, dating back to 2015 and 1985. That base running edge needs to be just that for Kansas City. And now with Blanco able to pinch run for Salvi, for Vinny, for Freddie, for somebody late, that's going to help. And, you know, you look at the Royals, they've lost three of the last four. The three losses are a combined are by a combined four runs. So having that pinch runner tonight is big. And you're also seeing Michael Massey make his first ever professional start in left field as Jonathan India's at second base. And to me, that's a direct reflection of India's hitting and Massey is not. We continue to sacrifice defense for the possible offensive improvement because Michael Massey, while I believe he's a better left fielder than Jonathan India is, I also believe that Massey's the best defensive second baseman on this team. But India's hitting, so you want him moving around less. You want to get that bat going even hotter than it is right now. Massey, you need to earn an everyday spot in the field. Right. Yeah, you're the best defensive second baseman, but you're just not hitting enough for us to cement you into a spot. So you're going to see Jonathan India at second, Michael at third, and Massey in left more times than not moving forward. Matt Quatrero telling me earlier that he's looking for consistency from his defense, and he likes this configuration with Massey in left.
That is our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, joining us on the show today. You're going to hear from him in a couple of hours as the Royals get ready to play host to the St. Louis Cardinals for a very fun and exciting series this weekend at Kauffman Stadium. Vern, I'll try to run into you tomorrow when I'm out at the stadium. Really good catching up with you, my friend.
All right, I'll have you on the pregame tonight. Need another winner from you, man.
You know what? I might give you a winner for today. I might also give you a little parlay. I might be feeling a little frisky today. I might give you a little two-leg parlay today. That is our guy, Josh Vernier, joining us on the show. Coming up on the other side, a crazy story in Major League Baseball that not nearly enough people are talking about. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
I want to read a quick story to you guys. Do you guys remember former Brave Rafael Furcal? Do you remember him? He played for the Braves for a handful of years. He played for the Dodgers, played for the Cardinals. Rafael Furcal. Maybe that's a name that rings a bell as a longtime baseball fan. Did you know that Rafael Furcal is in a little bit of legal trouble? Let me tell you what his legal trouble is. The former All-Star turned himself in on Wednesday and was released on bail a short time later. You might be wondering to yourself, why are we even talking about this? He got in some off-the-field issues, but he was quickly released from jail. This is why. He was charged with aggravated battery with a deadly weapon and throwing a missile into a public or private dwelling or vehicle. Hey, man, I don't feel like you should be quickly released on bail after that. I don't know any of the details about the case. All I know is what you have been charged with. You're telling me that you can throw a missile. Number one, where do you even go get missiles from? There's no store that you can go buy them at. It's not like you can go to Walmart. You can just be like, hey, let me check out a missile. Where do you even acquire this kind of weaponry? And how can you throw it into a public or private dwelling and then you are released from jail? No, you need to be on timeout for a while. We got to do a little bit more proper investigation before we let you back out on these streets. Why is this story not a bigger deal? Rod, did you know this story? Had you heard this about Rafael Furcal? That's why he went to jail? What does short time later mean? I mean, it can't be that long. You did all of this, they let you out an hour. What is this, Grand Theft Auto? You don't get to throw missiles into people's house and then walk away from prison. You are a threat to society.
I'm still hung up on the missile part and the fact that how does one acquire a missile? Like, I'm legit, because he had it, because he's alleged to have thrown it into a private or public location. That is not something I can acquire. Like, you know, maybe you're playing a prank on your buddies and you get like, you know, you throw like something at them, like, you know, like a bag of poo or whatever. But a missile? How? It's not like I could spend all day being confused by the fact that Rafael Furcal had access to missiles.
Yeah, I don't know. No clue. Someone on the text line says some fireworks are considered missiles. I don't know. If that's what happened, I don't know.
I feel like, now maybe I don't know about the arrest, and that's fine. I feel like if he hucked a bottle rocket at someone, we wouldn't be using the term missile.
Yeah, I don't know. The text line is saying that a missile could mean a rock. I feel like we should just use different words if that's what we're doing here. This is where I feel like the law, you got to be a lot more clear here. Throwing a missile, then I would just call it something else, a projectile. That's what I would call throwing other things. A missile is a missile. No, if you pick up a rock and throw it through somebody's window, you didn't throw a missile. You threw an object. You threw a projectile. You definitely didn't throw a missile in that case. That's what I feel like they should do. They gotta change the word, I feel like they should say.
What I'm hearing is that if the text line's correct, you're correct too. Johnny Law needs to tighten up the verbiage.
Yeah, we gotta use different words then if that's what we're doing.
If as a kid, you know, you're tossing a football back and forth and it goes through someone's window, calling that a missile feels like a dramatic overstatement on what happened.
Yeah, the text line is saying I was charged with the same thing. All it means is that he threw a brick at somebody. Again, we just got to start using different words then, because when I see missile, maybe I'm just thinking differently. I didn't know this. So you're telling me in Friday that Craig threw a missile at Debo? That's what you're telling me? Because I've seen Friday a million times. I would have never thought about it through that thing. Maybe Craig should have been in jail then if that was the context. That's it. The text line, you guys know a lot about this. My friend threw a beer and got charged for launching a missile. Wow, really? I didn't know this. I learned something today. Maybe I should have done more Googles on this. I just saw a missile and I thought it was something very, very serious. I feel like words matter and we should use different words for the different verbiage. I thought Rafael Furcal was out here playing Call of Duty. I didn't know he was just out here throwing anything. You could pick up anything. I could throw a pin at somebody and they said I threw a missile at you. I don't know. I didn't know this. Had absolutely no clue. I learned something today. Thank you, text line. Look at this. Sometimes you guys teach me things. I'm happy that we talked about this with Rafael for a call. Hey, I didn't know that you guys knew so much about projectiles and been throwing stuff. I've never done this before. I've done a lot of things. I've never done anything where the cops suspected me of throwing a missile at anybody. So I learned something today.
Can we take a minute to... Should we be worried that the text line is so familiar with this law that,
man, I don't know.
Hey, this, I was hucking bricks. That's a missile. I was hucking rocks and beer.
That's what I've learned. The text line has experienced there's nothing that we could talk about that the text line doesn't have great expert knowledge about. Like, you and I could be talking about, like, Sports Illustrated swimsuit models. The edition came out, like, oh, I never met one before. Everybody on the text line went to high school with some. Oh, yeah, this girl that was in my, okay, all right, never mind. No, you're right, I didn't know. So I was asking. The text line, they know a lot of these things. To be very clear, missile in this case means a stone or other hard substance which would produce death or great bodily harm. Okay, that actually makes a little bit of sense there. You pick up like a rock and then you throw it really hard. Again, I would just use a different term, but if they're using missile in that, okay, all right, makes sense. I got it. Someone on the text line says, I don't really care the definition of missile. I'm just happy that this wasn't somebody on the Chiefs. That's good. No, that is actually the best. That's the right way to feel about this topic. I certainly hope that we don't get an off-season of Royals and Chiefs off-season issues. I mean, if you're telling me the biggest off-season issues is they found human remains near one of Taylor Swift's house, I would consider that a win for the Chiefs this off-season. I would consider that a positive offseason. If you're telling me that Taylor Swift is the one in off-the-field issues for the Chiefs, I would say mission accomplished. Hey, Rashee Rice, Uber. That's what you need to do for the rest of the summer. Uber. Xavier Worthy, leave those girls alone. If the Chiefs can leave this offseason, and summer has not started yet, so we still got a long way to go. It's not out of the realm of possibility. If you were telling me that Taylor Swift is going to have the biggest off-the-field headline, I would say that the Chiefs had a pretty phenomenal offseason. That's what I would love. I would love just a quiet offseason. The only news I want for the Chiefs is for us to randomly be discussing that we have the answer of what Rashee Rice's suspension is going to be. I want there to be a tweet that just pops up in late July that gives us the answer finally on what's going to happen with Rashee Rice. Is it 2? Is it 3? Is it 4? Could it possibly be more? That's the only news I want coming from this organization. Coming up at the top of the hour, let's get back to the Royals. They are playing host to the Cardinals this weekend. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.